Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend, Mr. Vin Forte.
Thank you.
Vin, how are you today?
I am good. We both watched The Toxic Avenger.
I've seen it twice this week.
Really?
That makes, I think, four for my whole life.
That's at least three too many.
we're gonna talk about Toxic Avenger. But before we get into that, how are you? How's your various projects?
I am good. I do wrestle rap, DJ Emilio Sparks. I do a sports podcast called Oddball with Vin Forte. I just started doing YouTube videos for that.
Nice.
So if people want to subscribe, go to youtube.com/@oddballpodcast.
Very nice. Very nice. And you're going to be on our upcoming 300th episode, Spectacular.
Yeah. We're doing it at Terminal 5. Where are we doing it?
We're going to do it at Mrs. and Mr. Janine Gagliardi's house.
Okay. And do they know that we're doing it there?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
They were part of the planning process. So we're not just showing up with microphones.
Yeah. Can we podcast in your house?
It should be good. It should be good. I can't believe 300. We're in the 290s. It's insane.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, right? I think about like what I've been through in the last 4 years, like various different jobs and up and down.
Pandemic.
I never missed one.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, you could see it in the quality. It's gone downhill steadily. But still, you know, consistency is the most important thing in podcasts. That's what they say. Vin, can you tell me your history with the Toxic Avenger?
I don't know if there's really much history. It's just one of those things that when you're a kid and you're a teenager, you hear about it.
Yeah.
And it's like a cult classic movie. And I watched it a very long time ago. And my memory of it was like, okay, I get why this is a cult classic.
Yeah.
Like, guy is getting bullied. We'll get into how much of this movie takes place in a gym in a bit.
About 90%.
Yeah. And then he falls into, in classic superhero fashion, falls into some toxic waste.
You bet he does.
Becomes a toxic Avenger. Is he an enemy of the state? Is he a hero of the city? Who knows? And it's like, okay, simple idea. Got it.
Yeah.
I rewatched this movie this week.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sucks. I was like, this is not a good movie. Like, I know it's trauma. I know it's low budget. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, this, like, nothing's going on here. Like, it's all just like cliche. And like, the bullies in the beginning of the movie are like the most bullies that you'll ever come across.
I think it reads almost like an incel propaganda film because the bullies are such chads and
they're dropping F-bombs and
what do they call the
R-bombs?
Female chads? Chads and what do they call them? There is
another name.
Yeah. It really feels like, because the villains are not only in shape and good looking, but they bully everybody for no reason. They have a group where they murder children.
They play these like death games where they're like driving around like, yeah, get 20 points if you kill that R word. Like,
yeah. Well, I have to disagree and say I like this movie a lot, but I don't know if I can disagree with your estimate on its quality.
I think, to be fair to it, I think it picks up in the third act.
It does. And all of a sudden, there's tanks, and it's like, what? So there is money?
Right. Like, by the end of the movie, I was like, okay, I get it.
Right.
But the first, like, half of the movie, I'm like, we got to pick up the pace, baby. Like,
you know, in my mind, you know where I put this? I put it right next to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, absolutely. And both had their own cartoon spinoffs.
Yes, that's true.
Which,
really wild.
By the way, because just to get into that for a second, this was part of that trend in the early 90s of we're going to take a franchise that has no business being marketed to kids and we're going to like make a cartoon of it.
Yeah.
Just like RoboCop and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But Toxic Crusaders is, I don't know if it got a video game at the time and they're just remastering it, but like, I think they're making a
new one. I think off the success of
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right, Shredder's Revenge.
So it is a new one, but it's in like a retro 2D style.
But then I saw on Twitter, someone somewhere, I don't know if it's a company or just a guy, is doing like an HD upscale, like a 4K upscale of the cartoon. I'm for it. I'm always for everyone if someone's doing something like that. But at the same time, it's like, wow, Toxic Crusaders can get a 4K upscale, but like insert,
yeah,
bit like Star Trek Deep Space Nine can't. Like,
yeah, well, it's a labor of love, I guess, for whoever's doing it.
I guess so.
Lloyd Kaufman's nephew.
You know what? I met Lloyd Kaufman because I used to work in the city on a show called The Special with Brett Davis.
Yeah.
We did a Christmas episode, and it was a Troma Christmas.
Well, let me tell you something before you reveal it. Let me say that either way, I'm going to be happy. If you say he was a nice guy, I'm going to go, that's great. If you say he was a weird jerk, I'd be like, yeah, perfect.
He was a little of both.
Oh,
beautiful. He was a very nice man.
Okay.
Who told some clearly very tall tales about the history of
Troma. How old is he now?
I'm going to guess he's in his mid-70s.
Okay.
But again, he was very nice, talked about the history of Troma, and he's not wrong in certain respects. Like, he made a claim that, like, Troma was the first company that, like, big company to bring anime films to America, which I don't know if that's true, but Troma did.
Right.
They were the first American company to get the rights to Miyazaki's films.
Okay. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Before, like, Disney eventually swooped in. Yeah. But, like, they were the original company that brought over, like, the 80s and early 90s Miyazaki films.
Wow.
So, like, Troma, like, secretly, like, got, if you go through their history, like, they got their hands on some good shit.
Yeah.
But then when they were interviewing Lloyd Kaufman, he goes on this whole thing about how, and again, he's not untrue in this, but he is stretching the truth. He says, everyone's doing this Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff and the DC Cinematic Universe. You know, Troma was the first one to have a cinematic universe where, you know, a Toxic Avenger, you know, Toxie would meet up with Sergeant Kabuki Man. And, like, he talked about, like, how those movies would cross over, like, Tromaville was a big thing. It's, yeah. Again, it's like, he's not.
He's right. But, I mean, there were other, I mean, I guess maybe he's right if you just say superheroes.
Maybe. Because,
I mean, the Universal Monsters had a cinematic universe.
Right.
Way, way back. Wow. So, you mentioned Troma a few times. For people that are completely unaware, Troma is a low-budget, very low-budget, like, independent film production company. They, as Vince said, they used to, at least, also distribute foreign films and other films. Before the Toxic Avenger, which was like their big hit, quote unquote, they made mostly like softcore porn.
Yeah, like horror movies, softcore porn.
Like not like kind of porn, a bit porn, of both. But like winky boobs porn. And there's plenty of boobs in this.
Yeah. Yeah, just plenty of random scenes of like the Toxic Avenger before he turns into the Toxic Avenger, like in the gym, running into people who are just like fucking on a bench. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's like looking, he's like staring at them.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
Like being a creep.
Yeah, yeah. This is a movie that is, what it's well known for is its extreme sort of exploitative nature. A kid gets run over with a car and his head gets run over and you see it. Imagine a superhero, almost like Deadpool, actually. Actually, when I watch this, I was like, I see a lot of Deadpool here.
I can see that.
A superhero who really murders people.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, like, there's a violently. Point. Yeah, not to jump right to the end, but like, there's a scene where he's about to take out the bad guy, and the bad guy's like begging for his life.
Yeah.
And up to this point, like, you know, there's no reason he couldn't let him off the hook.
Right.
Just surrender him over to the police, tell him what's going on. But he's like, he says something like, well, have some guts. So, like, you don't got the guts.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let me see if you've got the guts. And he, like, rips his guts open.
Yeah. And then the guy, that's the mayor. He tries to put the guts back in. This is the kind of movie. But here's the thing.
By the way, before we go any further, you can watch this on YouTube. It's just up there for free.
It's very easy to find. I watch it on Pluto, though. Not a bad...
Okay, not a bad option.
Not a bad version.
Yeah.
And let me say, what I like about these movies that, like, I just can't get behind, like, the kind of stuff you see on sci-fi now, is that it's still film. There's the charm of film. No matter how cheesy what you're seeing is, it's still a film. Whereas, like, the sci-fi even Troma movies, now is all video.
Yeah, and the sci-fi films, like, they know what they're doing.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, Sharknado 15. It's like, come on.
Right.
Whereas Toxic Avenger at least feels like it has, like, some charm to it.
Right.
Like, okay, this is a very grassroots effort. That's why, like, whenever they do those sequels, it never measures up. Like, the first Sharknado, okay, you catch lightning in a bottle, and then now every year you gotta do a Sharknado.
Right. They're up to, like, eight. There's even, time travel in it now.
Even Toxic Avenger. Like, you do one Toxic Avenger, then it's like, we gotta do two more.
Yeah.
Then they stopped for, like, 10 years, and then did Citizen Toxie in 2000, which apparently people really like. I would, maybe that might be one to revisit. Like,
that's one I haven't seen. I've seen two and maybe three.
Apparently it's really good, and it just ignores the other two.
Oh, that's fine.
Sequels.
Does he go to Japan in two? Or is that three? Two and three are filmed at the same time and released the same year.
Yeah, they were really ahead of the curve with that.
Yeah. Well, he's similar to, like, if you know Roger Corman. I make schlocky little movies. Although I gotta say, and I've said this before, no shade. I can't think of any Roger Corman movies that I really like. That's not true.
Maybe Little Shop of Horrors?
I I've actually never seen the original Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
But you're right. That's a good one. Going back on what I just said, I like when he did the Edgar Allan Poe movies. He did Fuller House of Usher with Vincent Price. That was good.
You know what's actually not bad? And maybe this is one we could do in an episode. The Fantastic Four movie.
Yes.
It's not bad. It's like a lot of practical effects.
Yeah.
Some people would probably say, oh, it doesn't hold up now, but, like, compared to how plastic the other ones kind of feel.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the tone is not bad.
No, it's not.
And not everybody making it knew that it wasn't going to be a real movie. I think most of the artisans working on it took it serious. It's just people at the top didn't.
Yeah, it was just like a very small group of people at the top that knew that it wasn't going to be a real
thing.
This
is just for the rights.
Yeah.
All right, so Toxic Avenger is directed by Michael Herz and Lloyd Kaufman. They also created this company, Troma. Mm-hmm. Troma doesn't mean anything. They wanted to create an ugly word.
Yeah.
For years, they would make up bullshit on, like, what it meant, but really, it's just, they were like, what's an ugly sounding word? Which tells you a lot about their mentality going into movies.
Right.
Like, they're like, oh, what's a repulsive word?
And they've kept that theme of, like, kind of gross out and Tromaville up to this day. Like, their most recent film, which a lot of my friends worked on, is Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Okay.
Which it came out in the lucky year of 2020, and is basically Troma's version of Shakespeare's The Tempest.
Okay.
Both a bunch of diarrhea.
They do the same thing over, and this is what they do. This is what they do. But this is 1984 when it's released. The story is by Lloyd Kaufman, who goes by Uncle Lloyd, and he's sort of the Stan Lee of Troma.
Yeah, he's always the figurehead. If you need to do something Troma related, he's always out in front.
The screenplay is by Joe Ritter, and then there's additional material written by Gay Parrington Terry and Stuart Strutton, but those sound like fake names.
Yeah. Those definitely sound like
those sound like very fake names.
Right? Strutton and Gay.
If you're real people, my apologies.
Yeah.
I just assume when I say that I'm not making fun of the names. I'm just saying maybe they just like it's Lloyd Kaufman just putting up a bullshit name for a gay. Believe me, this movie doesn't. There's nothing too low. There's no too low hanging fruit for this movie.
No, not at all.
See, that's the thing. People think of this movie. All right, this movie can be extremely triggering. A dog gets shot, right? Like, this is a triggering movie. But at the same time, and I'm not defending it, but at the same time, this movie's a weird combination of extreme violence and just the corniest, like, old man, uncle, pull my finger humor.
Yeah.
Like, some of the humor is so corny. And it's not corny on purpose. It's like, this is as funny as we can get.
Right.
You know, like, the mayor, his whole thing is that he's overweight. And his name is like Goodbelly, Mayor Goodbelly or something, or Bell Good or whatever it is. And it's just, he's
the big fat mayor.
Yeah. At one point he's getting a massage and he's laying next to a hoagie. That's the whole size of him. Like, that's the type of humor you're getting in this, along with like insane levels of gore.
Yeah. That's really a lot of the charm of those kinds of movies that you can't get now.
Yeah.
Which is... it's almost what, like, when people talk about David Letterman, like what his late night show was, which is there's value in, we're giving you precious real estate.
Yes.
And like, here's what you're doing with it.
Right.
Like now someone wants to make something low budget and shitty and dad jokes mixed with poopy. Right. It's nothing.
Right.
But you see it on film and you're like, wow, they committed a film to this.
Yeah. I believe this movie premiered at Cannes. I don't know if it was part of, like, the fancy schmancy festival, but, like, it was part of the marketplace. Like, that's where it first was shown to get distribution.
I believe it, because, like, you always hear, like, these fringe horror films every couple of years.
That
like,
come from Cannes, yeah.
Like, oh, Human Centipede was at Cannes, and people just think of Cannes as, like, this hoity-toity thing, and they're like, what? That was at Cannes? But, like, yeah, it's just a film festival.
That's true.
Like, you got enough money,
and in the end, the film festival really is about showcasing films and then people buying films. Yeah.
Right. I think there's a big misconception in the general public of what a film festival is.
Yeah.
Where they think it's like a competition where, okay, if you win, you get some prize money and like your film gets a little more prestige. Right. Like, yeah, that can come with it. But it's like a trade show. It's there
distributors. To get eyes on it and then for somebody to distribute it for you.
Yeah, like there's tons of films that premiere at Cannes and then sit on a shelf for 10 years.
Right, exactly. So, let's see. Oh, the writer of the screenplay, Joe Ritter, he wrote only these toxic Avenger movies. He's mostly a Steadicam operator. He has a huge history of like big movies where he's a Steadicam operator.
Yeah.
Melvin is played by Mark Torgel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Toxic Avenger, who Melvin turns into, is played by Mitch Collins. But then Toxic Avenger is also voiced by Kenneth... oh, what's his name? Kenneth something or
it's
other.
A big operation to be the Toxic Avenger. You need three people.
Yeah. By the way, did you get I didn't read this anywhere, but did you get the feeling watching it today, right, that originally Toxic Avenger does not speak, and then they were like, we gotta add
dialogue.
They
did a lot of stuff in post. Like, there's a lot of scenes where you see him walking from the back.
Yeah.
And he's like saying something that's clearly in post.
Right. Like, a lot of his dialogue's off screen. And also there's a lot of he does a lot of roar, like Frankenstein, but then he'll also be speaking, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like he'll be like, there's a scene where he's going to the gym and he's like, roar, monster, and then he like accidentally sees a lady naked. He's like, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Right. Well, that's another thing too. Like, when he's off screen, he sounds like Superman, kind of like uptight voice.
Yeah.
But if you ever see him speaking on screen, which you do see some of that, which I think is reshoots, he just sounds like a normal guy. Like, yeah. they didn't have it figured out. I might call him Toxie as we go through this, because that's what he became known as, although he's not called Toxie in this. He's just actually
the good monster.
Yeah, he's not even called the Toxic Avenger in this. He's just the monster.
See, that's where the movie picks up for me, where
Kenneth Kessler, that's who voiced him.
Yeah, like, that's where the movie picks up big time for me, is when the townspeople start like wearing shirts with his face on them.
Yeah.
And they're like, we love the monster.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it well, first of all, it's a short little film. You can get it done very quickly. It has, the performances are all over the place. I'd say that there are two good performances in the movie. I think the mayor is actually a good performer.
Yeah.
And I think the girlfriend.
The
blind girlfriend. Which, by the way, does this movie just make her blind to make blind jokes? You fucking bet they do. More than once, she like grabs somebody's dick, like, oops, I'm blind. it's offensive, but it's so stupid. It's like watching a high school play. Like, some of the performances are like, yikes.
the bullies are like so over the top right from the get-go.
Right. Especially like, Bozo.
Yep.
These are the character names, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got... So, yeah, most of this... Lloyd Kaufman must have had a cousin who owned a gym, right?
Yeah, they got a lot of time out of this gym.
Like a lot, even like there are scenes where the mayor's in the gym. Like, why is the mayor hanging out at the gym?
Such a hot spot in Tromaville?
I know everybody hangs out at the Tromaville Health Club.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter if you're thin, fat. Like, everyone's hanging out at the health club for some reason.
By the way, Tromaville, the New Jersey. Yeah, obviously a fake place. But there's a great funny gag in the beginning where the sign says, like, the contains the most toxic waste dumps in America or something like that. It's also, what do you call it? It begins with a narration. It almost feels like it's going to be like a cheesy crime documentary. It does. It's got that weird, like...
In Tromaville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you may be... It reminded me almost of, like, Plan 9.
Mm.
Oh, it actually begins with a warning. Warning, the Toxic Avenger contains scenes of extreme violence.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, yeah, the sign says, "Welcome to Tromaville, toxic chemical capital of the world."
Apparently that was a dig at Staten Island.
Was it?
Because I think, like, a very... Like, most of this film was shot in Jersey, but, like, some of it... Like, a small portion was filmed in Staten Island.
Really? I didn't know. Well, that makes sense. But, you know, he's very proud of the Jersey thing. Like, I've heard him go, "Well, we're the first superhero from Jersey."
Yeah. Take that, Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Our lead character is Melvin Ferd, who later on they call Melvin Junko. But he's Melvin Ferd in this. And the performer's a weird guy, and he plays it. Yeah, he
plays it.
He's a nerd in an 80s nerd fashion.
But he doesn't. I mean, let's really call it what it is. He plays it like he's supposed to be, like, mentally
disabled. Yeah, yeah. He plays it like he's disabled.
Because they keep calling him the R word in the first half of the film.
And he doesn't seem to totally understand, like, social cues and things like that.
Yeah, he's putting the mop in the hot tub.
Right. But so this is a health club, and this was, like, when health clubs and gyms became first big in America. So, like, you've got, like, you know, like, it begins with, like, you see the club and you see two kind of, like, very, very stereotypical gay guys that are, like, hanging off each other. I think they got, like, leather on. Yeah. It's, like, they're just there to do, like, bad gay jokes. And you see, like, a lot of close-ups of women's breasts and women's butts. There's a lot of silly gags. Like, you see, exercise class going on, and there's a overweight girl who's just, like, eating chocolate instead of doing what she's supposed to be doing. And then we go down to, like, the pools, and there's a hot tub, and in the hot tub are our villains, two couples, Bozo and what's Slug, and their girlfriends are Julie and what's the girlfriend's name? I forget the other girl's name. And they're like, and Bozo, his thing is, like, he's anxious all the time. He's always like, "Oh, I'm stressed out." He's like,
"Yeah, the girl's always trying to calm him down."
Yeah, and by the way, Melvin but calm does him
down by, like, "Oh, come on, run that kid over, you'll feel better."
Yeah, Melvin doesn't do anything, but he's like, "I fucking hate that mop boy. Oh, I hate him so much."
It's the whole revenge of the nerds. Like, "Oh, I fucking hate nerds."
Right. He comes in and. And then he accidentally puts the boss is like, "Hey, Melvin, come here. I want you to clean the toilets." And he's like, "Oh, okay, I'll be right there." And instead of putting his mop in the mop bucket, he puts it in the hot tub. Yeah. So they get out and they call him the R word and they, you know, put him in a herb circle and, you know, basically threaten his life. And the women are just as horrible as the men.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like true 80s. Babes in quotes, like blonde, always in, like, you know, big bust, you know, like babes, like beer commercial babes. Right. And the four bad guys are in a hit and run, like, gang, but it's also a game,
right? It's like a death race kind of thing.
There's a really, really offensive scene, which I can't really quote, where they're going through every ethnicity and explaining the amount,
like,
of...
"You hate these Jews, right? What about these guys?"
Right, the amount of points you get for running over and killing people of different ethnicities. And then they see a little kid on a bike, and he's like, "Oh, how much for a kid on the bike?" And she's like, "Oh, that's extra points. If you get the bike, too." So they run over a child on a bike. He's like crawling on the ground and they're like, oh, he's not dead yet.
And run his fucking head over.
Yeah, they back over and run over his head, and his head like explodes, and then they cut to it. They show like his headless body.
Yeah.
And then the two girls come out with Polaroids and they're like taking Polaroid pictures and they're like acting like they're turned on by the murder. I'm laughing because the way I'm describing it will make it sound worse. Like, I'm not like, this is what's in the movie, but it's done so cheesily.
Oh yeah.
It you know, it's like, it so is trying to be shocking that it's like, okay, I get
it's just,
it.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
Oh, but the kid's name is Skippy.
Bozo Skippy.
Yeah. So, they decide, okay, here's how we're going to get Melvin. Cause we hate Melvin. We're going to, one of the girls, I think Julie is like, I'll lure him in. I'll tell him I need to talk to him, and then I'll take him into the locker room and I'll show him my boobs and be like, you know what? I want to break up with Bozo. I want to be with you, but come and meet me in this dark room in the gym and then we'll be together. And he's like, great. And she's like, but wait, I need you to wear this. And it's a pink leotard with a tutu, which ends up being his, like, his outfit, his superhero outfit. And, she's like, yeah, come on in. So he goes in and he's like, Julie, where are you? And then someone's like, turn the lights on. And he's like kissing a sheep.
Yep.
And the sheep is like wearing lipstick and a bra. And apparently, I read this on IMDb, so you know it's got to be true. The sheep was like flea written. So it was really disgusting and smelled bad. So everyone's laughing at him. This actually, they take a lot from the beginning of Carrie here, because you see like close-ups of people's faces as they're laughing at him, like maniacally, like everybody, even the fat girl from the class who was eating chocolate. Everybody's like, fuck this mop boy.
He runs out the window, falls into a big thing of green goo.
Right. Oh, yeah. And we forgot the part where we see two guys that are truck drivers and they're like snorting coke. And they're driving they have a huge flatbed with barrels of toxic waste, like green bubbling toxic waste, which looks really cool. But there's not even anything holding it in.
No, it's like, just out and about.
Yeah, like they stop and you see the barrels move, and like there's no tops to the barrels, and they stop just to do more coke. They're like, stop. Yeah, so they stop right outside the gym. Melvin runs out the window, goes headfirst into the fucking thing. He starts freaking out. Everyone's like, oh my god. They do a man on fire gag, which is like one of the most dangerous things a movie can do. And I was almost like worried, because
I don't know if I trust Troma to
do this. Because typically what you would do is you have to like put somebody, you have to like put them in this like suit and then put the stuff on them so like they can't get burned. And then you have to be right off screen with like a bunch of extinguishers, and you have to film in slow motion. So you can only do it for like 10 seconds, but like at first it's not in slow motion. I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
Like, they really light someone on fire.
Yeah. And then he goes home to his mother's house.
His mother's horrified.
Yeah. And she's like, he's in the bathroom like moaning because he's in pain because of the toxic waste. And she's like, oh, he's going through puberty. And next is... next to the tub is a like picture, his mother's picture framed, and it says mommy in a heart. And this is kind of good effects. There's these like a bladder effects where like his skin is, his hair is falling out. You see his chest bubbling up, and then you see like kind of like cheesy negative film effect.
Yeah.
And now he's
the toxic.
Right. And he's buffer. He's not buff. No, but he's like buffer. Bigger now. Right, so it's like it's made him strong. And he doesn't have his own theme, but they use Night at Bald Mountain as his theme. The
because it's public domain.
Right, exactly. There is one song in the movie called like Body Talk that they play like 9 times.
I was just gonna say they play it like a million times.
Body talk. Body talk. It gets stuck in your head.
And it like they play it over the end credits, and it's like, I get why you would play it in the beginning of the movie where you're at the gym, but like by the end of the movie when they're in the woods in like a tent and he just saved the day, I don't know if Body Talk works.
Yeah, exactly. So Melvin's mom doesn't accept him. So he goes to live in the toxic dump. He makes like a little home for himself in the dump. There's like a Richard Nixon book on the floor as he walks over it. The movie keeps his face hidden for way too long.
Yeah, it's not... I don't know. You didn't have to keep it hidden.
Right. Like, I understand keep it hidden for a little while. He's on the cover. Right. Like, keep it hidden for, like, the first scene.
Yeah.
Like, they keep it hidden, like, halfway through the movie, but not even doing a great job, because you can kind of see.
No.
You can see it. And his face looks like it's, like, he's kind of, like, pale, grayish.
Well, melty.
Like, yeah, melty. He kind of looks like Jason looks like without his mask in some of the later Friday the 13th movies. One of his eyes is, like, down lower than his other eye. He's bald. So he goes to live in... Oh, so now we meet Clancy, the Irish cop, the one good cop.
Yes.
And he comes across a gang, and in the gang is Cigarface. But also in the gang is a very offensive transgendered character. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's the 80s. So it's like, it's a guy with a mustache, but also then there's lipstick and a dress. And it's like, ha ha ha, you get it? So Clancy, the good cop, is like, he's not on the take. And they're like, hey, you better take this money if you know it's good for you. And he's like, nah, I'm not a dirty cop. And then they beat the shit out of him, and they're gonna like cut his balls off. And then Melvin comes and saves him.
Yeah.
And he's the Toxic Avenger, and it's brutal. He beats one guy's face in, like he's like a Popeye, like he's doing like the speed bag. He gets another guy in the fucking nose, like he
rips his nose.
Yeah, like it's very, very violent. And his like thing is he puts a mop over your face.
Yeah.
Because he's the mop boy. So, like, the mop is, like, part of his whole thing.
Yeah, I just love that, like, this is when the movie starts getting better. Because it's like, okay, now we're getting over the top.
Right.
But it's like, okay, he's saving the day. But it's not just, okay, he's putting right situations that are wrong. It's like, I'm going to fucking murder the bad guys.
Right, right, right. Like, brutally murder them.
Yeah.
One thing that I think was really well done that actually made me laugh is the cop is thrown into a pile of garbage, and Toxie like gives him his hat back, and he's like, "Here's your hat, sir." And he's happy they were saved, but he's scared of Toxie because he's this monster. And there's like tomatoes in his hat, and he like puts his hat on, and then he walks away. He's like, "Okay, good night," and he like tips his hat, and more tomatoes fall out. I was like, I don't know if they planned that perfectly, but it worked for me. And then he goes to the police station, and he's like, you got this guy. He was this monster. He saved my life. And the police chief is a Nazi. Like, he does the Nazi salute. Does,
yeah.
He's like, he thinks he's in a Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah. Even at the end of the movie when they're about to kill him, like, they do, like, the Nazi goose step and shit.
Yeah. But, you know, this movie's a little like Batman because...
Really?
Trauma. Well, because everyone in Trauma is corrupt. From the mayor to the cops to everybody. There's nobody besides Toxie and
Clancy there.
And not
on the table.
Clancy's his fucking
his,
Gordon.
Yeah, I was going to say his Al Lewis.
Oh, like from Car 54?
No, or Ann Lewis, that from RoboCop.
Oh, okay. I was like, Al Lewis.
Grandpa Al Lewis.
I was like, well, that's okay. Al Lewis. Yeah, he's the one good cop. So we meet the mayor, Peter Belgoody. His whole joke is that he's fat. Everybody's corrupt. Let's see.
At this point in the movie, it picks up, but it also sort of...
There's a lot of repetition. Right. Next, after that scene, we have a place that's called the Mexican Place, which was actually a restaurant at the time.
Yeah.
And it's this Mexican restaurant where they also serve pizzas for some reason and make shakes. And these three guys come in to like rob the place with shotguns, and they hold the whole place up. And one of the guys... Leroy, he's got like red paint on his face. He looks like a bad guy from the movie The Warriors. Like, he's got a whole thing going on with like suspenders. And he actually quit the movie because he has to put a shotgun in a baby's face. And apparently he walked out. He's like, I can't, this is fuck this movie. So yeah, because there's a woman's like, leave us alone. And he's like, oh yeah. And he literally puts a shotgun in a baby's face. And then there's another guy named Frank who suspiciously doesn't move one of his arms. We find out later it's because Toxie's going to rip an arm off. So he's got a fake arm because he's an actor with one arm. And then Rico. And then this is where we also meet Sarah, the blind girl.
Yeah.
She's this very pretty blonde, blind girl. She's got a dog with her. They shoot the dog. And you see the dog like, but again, like, I know this is for some people, this is the worst thing. It's very triggering. I'm not telling you, you should watch it, but do know that when we see the dog supposedly dead, you can see him breathing and he just looks like a dog with spaghetti on him.
Yeah.
That's the shot dog. So Melvin comes in to save the day again because, oh wait, they don't say that yet, but we find out later that Melvin, unlike Superman or any other superhero where he looks for danger, he has like a psychic connection to danger. Like evil lures him in.
Spidey sense.
Right. And he can't even help himself but to murder them brutally. So he goes in, he rips the one guy's arm. The one guy, Frank, is going to, he's going to rape the Sarah and, Toxie rips his arm off, beats the shit out of him, uses his arm to hit another guy. The guy Leroy's doing some sort of martial arts on him, beats the shit out of him. And then, like, each one of them, he, like, does a food thing to. Like, Leroy, he puts, like, chocolate syrup and, like, whipped cream in his mouth and then puts his mouth in one of those, like, those shake makers.
Yeah.
So he's a shake. The guy, Frank, with the one arm, he throws him in a pizza oven. And then the guy, Rico, he takes his hands and he puts it in the top in like a fryer.
Yeah.
And he squeezes it so his hands are stuck. And then he puts them into the frying machine and he fries his hands.
And good job, Toxie.
Right. There's also some people working there. There's one kid who's working there who becomes like his biggest like ally later on.
Yeah,
and then there's the fat guy.
Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, and then there's the fat guy working there who's so fat he has his belly out. Like, he has his shirt, like, which I always think is the cheesiest, lamest kind of joke to make, because I've never known a fat person.
Who just has their belly out.
That's like, this is what I do. I wear shirts way too small for me, so my belly hangs out. And I've got, like, lettuce for my tacos in my belly button. So, yeah, he kills all of them. He brings Sarah home because she's like, I can't get around without my dog. And he's like, okay, ma'am. He brings her home. He walks in her, again. We're still trying to not show his face. He walks into her house backwards, which makes no fucking sense.
Just so we can't see his face,
right? She has like, and I don't know if this is a real thing or not, but like, you know, like a gun rack. Like, you've seen gun racks with, like, rifles. She has, like, a gun rack or, like, a pool cue rack, but it's a bunch of, you know, canes that blind people use. I don't know if they really would have something like that or why you would need 10 or 20 of them.
I felt it was a gag.
It's certainly a gag because she knocks them over and they fall. Yeah. Know what they're trying to do? They're trying to do Gene Hackman in Young Frankenstein. Like, this is like, this portion's like the, and now we're going to do the blind person gags.
Right.
She's like, let me read your palm. I could see you have a very big future ahead of you. Let me read your other palm. And she grabs his dick. And it's like, why would you think his palm's down there? And then she's like, oops. And then you keep seeing this very cheesy old school effect of like a spinning newspaper with a headline. Yeah. And it says like, monster saves the day. Monster cleaning up the town.
Yeah, that's the stuff I really liked, like when it got really cheesy like that. Like, they're not interviewing people around the town, but they cut to like different people to like get their opinions.
Right.
Like, there's like typically gay people in a salon. Like, I bet the monster wants me. Like,
right. It is a superhero movie. That's why. By the way, you know this movie is being remade. It's in post production.
Peter Dinklage is apparently the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah. So,
and apparently it's not a remake. It's a, they didn't, I saw some interview where they're like, no, it's a reboot. So like, I don't know if they're connecting it to the old one. That would be wild to have like a big connection.
That's crazy. You know, Lloyd Kaufman gave James Gunn like his first break. So
yeah,
he's in every Guardians movie in a cameo.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's an alien. You can't tell that he's him.
Right, but in the first Guardians, I think he's just a prisoner, right?
Like, right, you can very much see it's Lloyd Kaufman, director of Toxic Avenger. So, we have now a weird scene with Dr. Snodberger, a German scientist who's doing a press conference where he explains that he believes the monster can sense. He's drawn in by evil. He right. can't help himself but to destroy evil, which is becomes a point later on because he kills somebody that he thinks is innocent, and he's like, "Ah, oh, I'm a monster. I can't help myself." And then we find out she was evil.
She was evil.
She was a quote white trafficker,
yeah,
or human something white human trafficker. So he can just sense evil on you. And she's a little person, which he puts her in a fucking he puts her in a washing machine,
right?
But by the way,
like you would.
But then he also makes a really he says the dialogue. No ticky, no laundry, but he says it in a very offensive Asian stereotype you bet voice. He does. Again, there's no fruit too low for this movie to aim for. So we see the gym again. We see that there's a drug dealer in the gym.
The drug dealer,
like, then he goes into the room and there's the mayor being massaged. And the drug dealer just works for the mayor in the gym.
Right. Like, everyone's got a room in this gym.
Right. And, he's selling steroids. That's fine. But he's also selling, like, coke and pre-rolled weed. I'm sorry. I was a pothead for years. I think this is a movie thing. I've never in my life seen pre-rolled weed. Why would you want someone? You buy it and then you roll it.
And that's like a theme in this movie too. Like, people are working out. They're doing like crunches. Like, now you take a hit.
Right. So the drug dealer then goes to work out a little bit. He does a bump of coke off his hand and he goes to work out. And he's like on one of those machines, but like there's a bench. So, you know, if you've ever been to the gym, like the weights will come up and down and there's like a pole that the weights are connected to. Toxie comes and drags him under the pole and basically the pole fucking smashes through his mouth and then rips half his head off. And again, you think that's it. No, close up of his half head. Everybody's screaming. Everybody's going crazy. So Wanda, who is one of the girls from the team, from the group of the killers, she's got some new Polaroids and she actually goes into a sauna to masturbate.
Right.
Looking at Polaroids of people they ran over.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. She goes into a sauna to masturbate, breasts out, of course.
Oh, of course.
To pictures of people she's murdered.
Well, she gets hers because then Toxie comes in.
Yeah.
And fucking, like, literally cooks her ass.
Yeah. He puts her butt on the hot stones and he says something like, "You're a hot ass," or something. Like, it doesn't totally work. He's like, "Take this, hot ass."
Yeah.
You know, there was a scene cut out that showed that she lived.
Oh.
And actually, both of the girls, he ends up killing all four of them, but the two girls lived in this scene. But for some reason, Lloyd Kaufman was like, "No, it's too soft. We have to make it like he killed everyone." And that's when his face is revealed.
Right.
Because they steal something right out of John Carpenter's Halloween, where earlier on, Wanda's in the sauna and her boyfriend Slug comes in with his face covered. Yeah. And it's like, "Oh, it's me." And
it's Toxic Avenger.
Right. And that's when he takes his mask off, that's when we have a good shot of his face. And that's like, we've already had two large action scenes.
Yeah, like we've seen him.
Right. We've basically seen him. And as you said, he's on the poster. Let this be a lesson to you, hot ass.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. The next scene's also offensive. Toxie's in an alleyway peeing, like green pee.
The green pee.
And then a pimp rolls up with a 12-year-old, I don't think the actress is 12, but a child prostitute. Right, he's like, "Yeah, see this girl? She's 12. 12 years old, $12. And she's like, "You told me to take me to the David Bowie concert. That's not David Bowie." And of course he murders the pimp. But here's what, and I want to know what you think happens. He kills the pimp, and then he's like, "You're okay, ma'am." And then he opens the car door and she goes in, but then Toxie goes into the car too. And was it just bad directing? He was like, "Okay, open the door. Do I go in too?" And we cut it. Or are they trying to say that Toxie fucked this 12-year-old? But he's also supposed to be in love with his girlfriend.
I think they weren't thinking about it.
Okay. But you can... Nothing's too low for this movie. Because nothing's too low for this movie.
Right.
There's nothing you put past this movie. By the way, there is... I don't know if we passed it or not, but there is a sex scene between Toxie and his girlfriend.
You bet.
And It's not graphic, but they fuck. I mean, they
it's
fuck.
It's there.
Yeah, they're bumping and grinding. He's got steam coming off him, which is kind of a funny gag.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know what you're doing to me. So now we see like a montage of him saving people. Like, right. This is that superhero montage, like after he saves Lois in the helicopter and then like him just going around.
Yeah, now
the
whole town knows he's good, so.
Right,
going around town.
The bad guy's gonna run over two kids. He saves the two kids. Those two kids become big fans of his. They're the ones selling t-shirts, yeah. Like, I heart the monster. Now we see the mayor who's like.
Now he's pissed.
Yeah, he's like, we gotta kill this Toxic Avenger. He's cutting into all of our action. He'll kill us eventually. We gotta take him out before he takes us out. Also, they have a plan to build housing on the dump that Toxie's living in.
Right.
And then someone else is like, but sir, if we do that, then the toxic waste will go into the water supply. And he's like, so what? And then he's like, they're all drinking at the gym. And he's like, here's to the wonders of chemistry. So they're going to kill him. There's a weird scene that I think could be cut that plays it like a horror scene where he's chasing the other girl, Julie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like chasing her throughout the gym. And then they're in the basement and it looks like A Nightmare on Elm Street, which came out the same year as this. So I don't know who's copying from who, but it's kind of played for horror, which is
Well, you know, odd. This movie does a little bit of everything.
Well, apparently the first version of the script was a horror movie.
Right.
Called, like, Health Club or something like that. And then he came up with this idea of, like, doing it like a superhero movie. Oh, wait. There's also a funny... There's a love montage when they're fucking where you see, like, her cooking him breakfast and she's, like, cracking eggs into a pan. And, of course, the eggshells are falling into the eggs.
Yep.
Because she's blind.
She's blind.
And... She puts, like, up curtains in his toxic waste home because she's adding a woman's touch. You know, it's wholesome.
Like, that stuff is good.
It's
like,
wholesome.
That's good gaggery.
And like I said, this actress, Andre Miranda, she's funny. She's good. She's probably the best performance of the... She seems to be the only one who totally gets the movie she's in.
Yes.
Right? I think the mayor thinks he's in a serious movie.
Oh, the mayor totally... I don't know what movie the mayor thinks he's in.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a villain in an 80s action
The mayor
movie.
Thinks he's in, like, fucking The Heat of the Night or something.
Right. The mayor doesn't know what he's in. Let's see. The mayor calls the governor. So he kills that little person. And yes. Then he's like, I can't believe I killed her. I am a monster. And this is when he tells Sarah, I'm the monster you've heard of. And she's like, it's okay. I love you. Why don't we go camping at that place that you used to like to go? Because you said it made you feel better. So they go camping. I don't know why. Maybe it has something to do with the production. It makes no sense that they would leave where they are.
Right, and go camping.
To go into a tent somewhere and have the final scene outside a tent.
I guess because they wanted a scene in a big field where everyone can converge. And...
I guess.
Because that's when the mayor like shows up with the police.
Oh, I forgot to say, when the two guys are trying to run over an old woman, they steal an old woman's car and beat her to death. And then they're trying to like run people over it. Toxie jumps on the car. He takes Slug and he throws him out into the street and kills him. And then he gets in the car with, Bozo. And Bozo's like, I'm a nervous guy. You don't understand. He's like trying to plead for his life.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of like this moment from a storytelling point of view. He gets up in his face. He's like, do you know who I am? I'm Melvin. And he's like, oh, fuck. And then he's like, come on, give me the wheel. And Melvin's like, okay. And he just takes the wheel off and he just gives the wheel. And then he pulls a Vanilla Sky. They crash off like a cliff. Bozo dies, but Melvin walks away fine because he's a superhero now. So yeah, the we're towards the end now. The mayor calls the governor and he's like, "You got to send the National Guard," and now we see like tanks in the street, and this is where the production value is like, "Holy shit, how do we get tanks?"
Right.
But now there's like a group of people that really love him. Like Melvin's mom is back on board. The little kids that he saved are having an ice cream cone with the good cop.
Yeah, and they pull that thing where it's like, "Well, okay, if you're gonna shoot him, you gotta get through us."
Right. Which. reminds me of the first Spider-Man movie. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
It's my least favorite moment in any Spider-Man movie.
That was one of the first.
It feels like it was put in specifically because the movie came out right after 9/11.
It's clearly a reshoot moment. It's clearly a reshoot moment. So yeah, they're camping. Everyone shows up. The mayor, all the bad guys, the Nazi. The fucking Nazi cop, the good cops there to try to talk the mayor, some sense to the mayor. The mayor's got a gun. They're supposed to bring the governor says bring Toxin alive, and he's like, no, I gotta kill him because you know his fucking his livelihood. He's a drug dealer, or whatever. He's overweight, therefore he's gluttonous.
Right,
right. That's the easy indexical sign towards a bad person. So everyone's like, you gotta get through us. So they all stand in front of him. And then he's like, everyone, you got to move. And then Toxie's like, it's okay, everybody. Toxie walks up to him. And like you said, he rips his fucking guts out. The mayor tries to put his guts back in. But it doesn't work. He's dead.
Then Sarah's like, oh, Toxie, I love you. But she can't find where he is.
Right, right. Again, another blind joke. There's, I think this is supposed to be a Rocky joke. Because he's like... Sarah, and she's like, oh, Melvin,
like, where
he's
are
like,
you?
Sarah, yeah. I think it's supposed to be, it's not well done, which is why you don't register it, but
right.
I was like, I think this is a Rocky parody.
And then that's it.
The narrative is like, the next time you're in trouble, maybe the Toxic Avenger will be there. And that's it. What was it, 90 minutes, maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, it was like an hour 20.
Some gags, some bad gags. It's certainly a movie, I think, look, if you're... Like, my girlfriend Jen would never watch this, right?
No.
She just the idea that there's a dog in it that dies, she's out. So if you're squeamish, this is not the movie for you. But I think this is a great movie to watch with friends.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a movie person and you've heard of it, or maybe you've never heard of it, don't spend any money on it. Find it. Put it on Pluto. You know, Pluto's free. Get together and watch it and just, like... It's a good bad movie. It's not bad movie.
It is a good bad movie.
It's watchable. It's definitely watchable.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie where you're going to watch it and be like...
Bored.
Okay, when's this going to pick up?
Right. That's the thing about like bad movies. Like when you're just like, okay, it's so slow. This movie just goes. It goes. And every scene has a lot of energy. If it has anything, it has energy.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing it to the fuck. Everyone's playing it at a 10.
And why shouldn't they have energy? They're all working out in every scene.
Right, and doing coke.
They're working out and doing coke in every goddamn scene.
Right. So this movie was a hit. By hit, I mean, I believe it was a VHS hit. And I'm not sure how many theaters it played in, but it did play some places.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I remember it from VHS.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've told some version of this story many times on the podcast. My family were very indiscriminate in what they let me rent. And I had Toxic Avenger action figures, which were, the Toxic Avenger cartoon was basically trying to cash in on the Ninja Turtles. Because it was like gross and mutants and stuff. And even the toys are made by Playmates, who made the Ninja Turtle toys. So they look like Ninja Turtle toys.
That is kind of crazy in hindsight that like they got Playmates.
Right. They got the thing to do the copy of the thing. So I was like, oh, this is a movie of the cartoon I like. Can I rent it? And my elders were like, sure, we don't care about what you watch at all. So I rented it and I wasn't bothered by it, but I certainly was like, first of all, where's all his mutant friends? Because in the show,
right,
there's
a
team.
Whole crew.
Yeah, there's a team of all mutated, like a guy with two heads. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of stuff going on.
Maybe that'll be in the reboot.
Yeah, he also, in the movie, like a serial killer, he just puts a mop over your head after he's killed you. But in the cartoon, his mop is like his weapon. He beats you with the
mop. Right, because in the cartoon, you can't be killing dogs and ripping people's heads open. And
the cartoon is in some ways faithful to the corniness of it, but of course not faithful because no one almost gets raped.
Right.
So in 1989, two sequels, which were shot at the same time, were also released. I think there was supposed to be one film, and they were like, oh, we got so much gold here. Let's make it into two. And if I remember correctly, I remember two kind of boring me a little. I think two just kind of gets a little long in the tooth. Then, as you said, there's Toxic Avenger 3, The Last Temptation of Toxie. Then it's the Saturday morning cartoon in 1991. It only had one season. And there was toys and games. There were a few games.
Oh, there was.
Yeah, I
for
think
NES.
They, yeah, I think that might have been
based on the Genesis. Based on the cartoon. Though.
Yeah, it's based on the cartoon. And then you, yeah, in the year 2000, they made Citizen Toxie, the Toxic Avenger 3. Oh, I'm sorry.
Make a note
the
of
two
that
movies
game.
That
I
came out.
That.
The two movies that came out in 1989, those are called Toxic Avenger 2 and Toxic Avenger 3, The Last Temptation of Toxie. But yeah. Those are 2 and 3. And then Toxic Avenger 4 is 2000, Citizen Toxie. In 2018, it was turned into a musical somewhere. I don't know where.
Didn't you see the musical? Like what?
I saw the Evil Dead
musical. Evil Dead musical.
Yeah, love that musical. And coming soon, it's filmed and they're editing it, I guess, a Toxic Avenger movie with Peter Dinklage as Toxie and Jacob Tremblay as I don't know what. I read the description. It sounds like it's just bare bones.
The idea.
He's not a mop person. I don't think he's Melvin. But like you said, maybe it's like the same world as
maybe.
Oh, what is this? Toxie versus Putin, a short from 2022, narrated by Lloyd Kaufman.
Of course.
So this is a Lloyd Kaufman joint. So yeah, there's that. Toxie tagline: "Back off, Vladimir. The Toxic Avenger is here."
Okay.
That came out March 18th, 2022.
You know, I'm looking at this video game. I'm kind of interested. This is not. On first look, this doesn't look terrible.
Really? I mean, it's such a crapshoot. We both have the Anbernic.
Yeah.
Which is a... I mean, how
it's a Chinese handheld knockoff that basically you put an SD card in with all the ROMs.
Yeah, from and you all play everything from every system.
Yeah, you basically play everything from like Atari on up through like PlayStation and Dreamcast.
So going through the whole library, what becomes clear in hindsight is the thing that really taints the NES, SNES, and the Sega Genesis is for every one great game, there are 4 or 5 TV or movie tie-in games.
Oh, yeah.
That suck terribly.
Yeah.
They're either too hard or they're hard because they're not made well. They're just glitchy and they're just, they're side scrollers that do the same shit.
And like a lot of stuff you would think would be fun, like a fun no brainer adaptation. Like I remember as a kid wanting so badly a video game based on like a fun 90s game show to actually be fun.
Right.
Like there was an American Gladiators video game that sucked. There was a Nickelodeon Guts video game that sucked. There was the best one that it wasn't even a good game, but it was just like a neat little mini game collection. Was for NES they put out a Double Dare game, and like that was not terrible, but that's like the best you could say.
I never played that game actually, by the way, I would fall for these hook, line, and sinker. I'd be like, oh, Batman, I love Batman. Oh, Batman Returns, I love Batman Returns. Oh, the Addams Family, I love the Addams Family. Ranked it. Put it in.
Yeah.
Dud. Renting games.
Such a crapshoot when there's no internet.
I know. Because
you see a good... Because all it takes is a good cover.
Right.
So it's like, if there's a great cover, it's like, wow, this looks like fun. And then you bring it home and it's like, what the fuck is this? The worst games were the ones where you would play it. The first 5 minutes would be okay. You're still kind of feeling it out.
Yeah.
And then you get stuck.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you're just like, what do I do? Like, you try everything.
There's no internet. There's nothing you could do.
There's no internet, so you can't do it. Like, if there was an internet, you would go online, you would look up a YouTube video real quick, and you'd be like, oh, okay, I got to jump on this. Okay, and then you just go the game would be okay.
Right. You'd also have word of mouth. Like, I recently dodged a bullet because this game came out called Gollum, which is like Gollum doing...
This was a big... bullshit.
Right.
Game.
I heard about the title. I was like, oh, this could be good. So I saw it was coming out. I ordered it. And then I was like, let me read some reviews. And like every review was like, this is the worst game ever made.
Yeah.
Worst game of the year. Everyone agrees this game is one of the worst things ever.
Yeah.
The game actually has a patch now where there's an apology from the developers, like, oh, this isn't done. It's not done. I paid for it.
Right.
And it's not like a $10 game. It's like...
No, it's like a $60 game.
It's priced like a AAA game. So I was like, uncancel. I don't want this. But back in the day, it would have been like, Gollum, let me rent it for $3.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Oh, I got a Nintendo. I'm really living the life. I got a Nintendo at home and at grandma's. Those are the real ballers. And then you're disappointed. And you're like, can I rent another game? And your grandma's like, you just rented a game. I just gave you $2. And I'm like, this game's bad. Or you see a game
that was so out there that you're like, I gotta see what this is.
Yeah.
Like, I remember renting Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to know what it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is okay.
I remember that being a game, but I don't remember anything about it.
All you do in it is
lean.
You can lean. So basically, you're each level, like, you have to open doors and windows and, like, save children.
Sure.
And, but there are moments in it that are inspired. Like, when you're at the end of each level, you fight, like, a big group of guys that come in.
Yeah.
And if you have enough, like, magic power saved up, you could basically hit like two buttons and you start going into a dance and like everyone stops and like dances along with you and then they all like fall down and die.
So that's how you kill people? By dancing?
That's your special move. Like if you like you hit a button to do your special and like and like the beat and Smooth Criminal starts playing.
Sure.
And like everyone starts doing like the shimmy and like they all do the lean and they fall down and die.
Yeah. Well,
and you can turn into a robot. Just like in the Moonwalker movie.
I was going to say, the movie's no better in terms of having a narrative.
No. Joe Pesci wants to get all the kids in the world hooked on drugs. And yes, he is in the game. He's the big boss.
All right. Well, that was Toxic Avenger. Check it out. Or you know what? Don't.
Use your discretion.
If what you've heard sounds palatable to you and you want to watch something,
you'll probably like it.
Silly and bad, you'll like it. If you're a good person with morals, it's not for you.
If you're going to church this weekend, maybe stay away from
me. Vin, where do we find your other podcasts?
You could just follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/mightyvin, and you'll see links to everything in the bio. So just go there.
Everything's in the bio. We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.